Good morning and welcome to Bold River Baptist Church. We're excited that you're joining us this morning. We would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
What a great testimony that it is well with our soul no matter what comes our way. And it's a great reminder this morning just of who God is. And it's so great to see different people this morning and people I ran into over the weekend, people that I met just recently, and then a special guest in the back, Mr. Michael Eads is here. He's been here and out of the hospital. So we're excited about Michael being here this morning. And so if y'all don't know, that young fellow's been in the hospital pretty much 99% of his earthly life. And so we're thankful for his presence this morning. And so we're excited about that. Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to be again this morning in verse 14. And I told you last week we covered the whole sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And we're going to kind of start hitting some different things that he did in the sermon for the next couple of weeks. So if you want to get there, I want you to get to that place, and we'll start reading in just a moment. Now, how many of you have ever been in your life in a situation where you knew something needed to be said? You knew that there was something that was going on that you did not like. There was something that was just stirring trouble in your heart, and you knew something needed to be said. Maybe it was between two friends, or maybe it was how a boss was treating one of your coworkers, or maybe it was how something was happening even at church. Can you imagine that? Something uncomfortable happening at church. That's not this church, right? But you know, the realities are is that times come up when we know something needs to be said. You know, sadly though, I believe that there's many times that we are more we have more desire to comment on things that are political in nature. We have more desire to comment on things that maybe are popular in nature. But whenever it comes to spiritual matters, there are times that I always come across where something needs to be said, yet we are very fearful of standing up. You know, it's quick to put something about what presidential candidate you want to elect or what party it is. It's a whole nother thing to talk to somebody about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And we tend to have an issue with that. So this morning, I want to talk to you about what happened that day when Peter decided something needed to be said. So if you will take your word in your hand, if you're at Acts chapter 2 at verse 14, and stand with me. We read the entirety last week from 14 to 41. Today we're just going to read a couple of verses here and there as we go through, and I will tell you where we're at as we go. So starting in verse 14, the Word of God reads this way. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And skip down to verse 20. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves, knowing this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, skip down to 32. This Jesus, God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Skip down to 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And finally, 40 and 41. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that this morning that you would just remind us, Father, that something needs to be said. Father, may we hear the words. We pray all these things in your holy Son's name. Amen. Well, we have the first sermon, first evangelistic sermon, first mention of Christ being Savior after the resurrection and ascension. You have everything going on that is supposed to happen, and here they are, and all of a sudden there's an accusation made. And just like you thought about just a moment ago, if there was ever that time when you thought, man, I need to say something, or somebody needs to stand up for this person, something needs to happen, somebody needs to say something. It was a few weeks ago that I got on Facebook. I'm primarily a Facebook consumer, which means I get on, I see what's going on, and then I get off. I'm not one of these people that like posts everything, and most of the time if you see me post something, it's a picture of like crawfish or a big steak or something like that. That's the things that I post. And you get quite a bit of my children and my family. But I do a lot of reading, just seeing what's going on. And I came across a Facebook page of a friend of mine, and it was a friend, and then another friend was posting on this page. And I want to tell you, it was ugly. It was ugly. I was just devastated by how this person was talking to another person and the types of things they were posting on this person's wall and how ugly it had gotten. And I'm sitting there, and I knew this person's parents. I knew this person's siblings. I knew everybody that surrounded this young man who was posting some horrific things. And it just started bothering me, and I put it down, and I was just like, man, God, I don't know what's going on there, but there's definitely something wrong, but this is bad. I mean, it was just vulgar, and it was so intense, it was hurtful and harmful, and I'm just going through my mind, what should I do? And finally, I just decided, you know what, I hadn't talked to these people in years, but I'm going to private message him and some people around him and say, and I just said, hey, it's about time you backed off. It's about time you backed off. And the response that I got from that was overwhelming. It was, how dare you even interject into something you don't understand? And I said, here's what I do understand, is that there's something harmful happening and something needs to be done. Now, that was a particular situation with a particular problem. What Peter is facing is a problem that every one of us on this earth is facing every day without Jesus Christ. If we have Jesus, we faced it, we know the truth, and we've accepted it, we moved on, and something has been done. But every person on this earth faces the same problem in their life. Now, you've either accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have not. Here's the truth. Peter saw a generation that was lost and dying and had no answers. And he said, something needs to be done. And that's what happens here in the chapter. Whenever we read all these verses, all he begins to do is tell them what needs to be done. Sadly, there are men who want to take a work of God and say, well, there's something wrong with it. That's what happens at the beginning. They come out, God has worked in their life, there's a visible change in their life, there's a miracle that's happened in their life, and the first thing that men start to do is start to say, nope, they're drunk, this is not of the Spirit, this is not of God, they're just drunk. And Peter has to stand up. The first thing that you see is that we have to stand up. We have to respond to the challenges of Jesus Christ. We have to respond to the challenge of the world against God's redemption. We have to stand up and proclaim the truth to people who do not have answers. You see, Peter's first response was to say, hey, you know what? This isn't anything you can understand because this is of God. This is something that's happening. If you notice, it says in verse 14, it says, standing with the 11, he lifted up his voice and he addressed them. Now, this sermon is about evangelism. And so we're kind of in evangelism 101 this morning. And as we go through this, we're going to notice some things. So Peter is standing, and as they are saying, this is just drunk men babbling. That's all this is. There was something that we need to take note of, and then there's something that we need to realize. The first thing we need to take note of is that these people were doing something that drew attention to God. They were doing something that made people go, hey, there has to be an explanation. There has to be a reason. The whole reason this whole conversation starts is because the actions of the believers were causing people to question. Is that Mont Belvieu today? Is that Dayton today? Is that Anahuac? Is that the schools that we are part of? Is that our refinery jobs? Is it our service jobs? Is it... what are we doing that's causing people to question what is happening? Because this whole conversation started because people were saying, what is going on? What is happening in this city? What is going on? And Peter has to stand up. Now notice, that's the first thing that we have to take note of. Here's something that we have to understand is that Peter stood up and he lifted up his voice and he actually spoke. And you say, why are you saying that? I want to ask you, when was the last time that you had a verbal conversation with someone about the saving grace of Jesus Christ? He didn't just say, hey, let's see what they come up with. I'm just going to plant some seed and let somebody else sow it. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm just a planter. I'm not the sower. We can't go along that way. Peter stood up and he's teaching like the teachers would teach. They would stand up, they would lift their voice, and notice what he says right at the beginning of his whole process. He says, give ear to my words. What he's saying is, what I'm about to say is important. I need you to listen up. Church, if there's one thing that this generation, this world needs right now, is for us to say, what we have to say is important. The church has to be declaring what we know is important. The church has to be saying, we hold the keys to the most life-giving change and promise that's ever been given. We have the answer, and it's not from us, it's to us. It was from Jesus to us. We have it. We can go out. We can share that. But he says, give words. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time, not only did you have a conversation about Jesus, when was it intentional and serious? You know, it's always interesting because I haven't had to do this, and I'm hoping I never have to, but you know those times, husbands, when you got to talk to your wife about something, you know it's not going to be fun? Oh, every husband in this room better know what I'm talking about. It's that awkward feeling that you get when you've got to go down, you got to go in and sit down and say, hey, honey, and they know automatically. Because it's in our voices. It's just that, hey, I need to talk to you. One of my friends, he's a mentor of mine, he used to say, hey, if it's going to be real bad, you need to get you a sticky note and write, I am not your enemy on it, and put it on your forehead. So when they see you, they know, hey, I'm not coming at you in anger. I'm not coming. Y'all know what I'm talking about. How many of y'all have ever had that conversation in your household where you had to have a hard conversation with your wife? Am I the only one? Am I the only one that's willing to be honest? Okay, there we go. I mean, come on. Y'all are acting like y'all have no clue what's going on. Every husband in this room knows exactly what's going on. You've had to be the one to say, hey, you know, I told you that you had a little bit of money to spend. A little bit to you and a little bit to me are two different terms. Or wives, you might have been saying, hey, when I told you I needed help, I was really asking for help, not for you to tell me how to do it, because that's what we typically do. But the realities are is that when we have to have those conversations, they become awkward. But I tell you this, every time I go in to talk to my wife about something that I know is going to be hurtful, I'm talking to God every day. God, just give me the right words. I don't want to press Rhonda. I don't want to depress Rhonda. I want to give her life. I want to give her joy. I want to give her hope. I want her to understand my heart. I want her to see these things. The question is I'm willing to do that about having to talk about budget, or I'm talking about children, or talking about vacation plans. I'm always concerned about how it's going to affect Rhonda. The question is, are we spending that much time in prayer, that much concern for those who are lost, that we need to have a conversation with about Jesus Christ? Because it's going to be awkward. Sharing Christ is always awkward, especially if you're not used to doing it. But it says that he stood up and he said, "This is important, church. What we have to tell people is important. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the beckoning of God to people through the chosen instrument of his church that was saved, justified, and redeemed by the blood of his one and only Son. That is important." We have to stand up. When people are lost and they're dying and they're hurting and they don't have answers, we got to stand up and say something has to be done. And while we're willing to state every other opinion we have, for some reason we're unwilling to state the truth. Church, where are we? The question is for this morning. I'm called to lead Old River Baptist Church, not every other church in Mont Belvieu. I'm called to pastor this church. This church will be a number of things, but first and primarily it will be a house of prayer, because Jesus said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." That will be number one. This church will be a house of prayer. We will work in that way. The second thing it will be a lighthouse to this community. I'm not responsible for Mercy Gate. I'm not responsible for the Sanctuary or First Baptist, but this church will share the gospel. And if you're uncomfortable with sharing the gospel, you're going to be uncomfortable in church. Because what we are called to do is to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're supposed to do. And whatever brings people to the gospel is what we're going to do. If it lines up with the Word, if it doesn't go against the Word, if it gives people an opportunity to have salvation in Jesus Christ because the message is proclaimed, I'm for it. We have to be a church that's going to say, "Hey, I will stand up and tell people about Jesus Christ," because it is important. The second thing I want you to see is that we have to speak up. I told you, he already voiced it. But when he spoke up, he didn't just say, "Hey, you need to come to church and hear our pastor." I'm going to tell you, they're going to be very, very disappointed if all they're looking forward to is come to hear me preach. Okay? If that's what we're doing, we're not doing the job. He knew what he was talking about. Whenever he got into the whole conversation, he begins to pour out, and you say, "Well, he was an apostle. He got to walk with Jesus. That gives him special powers." You tell me in the Bible where it says that he had anything special. In fact, we know more about Peter and how much he did wrong than we do about what he did right. Peter was just a man, just like me. The people that followed Jesus were people just like us. There was nothing special about them except for this. They believed that what they had to say was important, and it changed their life. That's the only difference between some people sitting in here today and those people that were there that day. I want to ask you a question. If somebody were to lay out, "Hey, what do I need to know about this Jesus thing?" Would you be able to spell it out and you say, "Well, he quotes scripture"? We're not. Really? Yes. We need to know the scripture. We need to know why Jesus answers all of the Old Testament, came and did what was supposed to be done to complete his work on earth, and why the New Testament is needed. We need to know why Jesus is important in Genesis and why he's coming back as king in Revelation. We need to know everything in between. We need to study the Word like it's nobody's business but ours. We need to make sure that when I speak, you know what I'm talking about. You need to make sure that when I speak, you know that I'm telling you the right thing. And the only way that we know that is if we study the Scripture. Because it tells us about Jesus from the beginning to the end. It tells us about the love of the Father from the beginning to the end. It tells us that he has not abandoned us from the beginning to the end. It tells us about everything we need to know to live this life from beginning to end. Why wouldn't we want to read this book? Why would we not want to dive in? Because it tells us the truth about the most important person that's ever walked this earth, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we've got to stand up, but we got to speak up. Notice he continually says, hey, this is what's God's plan. This had nothing to do with you. You were used. You were a person that had no issues with what Satan wanted to do. You were delivered into sin. He gave us that problem whenever he tempted Adam and Eve, and they chose. And we are now, because one man entered the world, we all have the condemnation of sinful lifestyles. We are all sinners. We all have the same problem. And as he begins to go on, he says, listen, but God continued to work. Listen, look at what he says. As he says, hey, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God. This is verse 22. And then he says, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge. God didn't leave us or abandon us, and that's what this whole book's telling us. So we've got to stand up, and then we have to speak up. We have to tell the truth. Truth hurts. Whenever a wrong has been done, the truth hurts. The greatest wrong that's ever been done on the face of the earth is that an innocent man died for me. An innocent man died for every murderer that's ever walked this earth. An innocent man died for every thief. An innocent man died for every Muslim that will never declare his name unless somebody is willing to go and preach to the Muslim. An innocent man died for every person who would reject that there even is a God. That's the greatest tragedy and wrong that has ever happened on earth. And the truth hurts. You see, when we speak the truth about Jesus, people say, well, it makes me uncomfortable. It does. And if you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, you're telling me somebody died in my stead is making me uncomfortable, I want to tell you something. He didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he loved you. He wanted you to understand how deep his love was. And even though that truth hurts, you know what? Not only did Peter stand up and did he speak up, he raised up the question, the need. And he continually is telling them that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, that death is coming and that death took Jesus, but God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, and that he lives forever. And there's hurt in the reality that there was a wrong that was done. There's a hurt in the reality that we all face our own fear of death. People say, oh, I'm not scared of death. That's not true. Every one of us goes, hey, what's going to happen when I die? We may know the truth, but we begin to think about what happens to my family, what happens to the people I leave behind, how am I going to make a way for these people to have a better life than me, how am I going to see things, what's going to happen? We all go through that. Why? Because we are people who struggle with the issue of non-existence. We struggle with the thought of what happens without me. What I'm thankful for is I don't have to worry about what happens without me. I get to worry about what happens with Jesus. That's an amazing thought process, that when my fear of death begins to overwhelm me, then I go, but Jesus is alive, and that means I'm going to walk again. I'm going to see something that I've never seen before. I'm going to see life in a whole new way. I'm going to walk in a place where there is no pain and suffering, where there is no death, where sin has not tainted it, and where Jesus Christ is Lord and God is the King and the light for all. I want to tell you something, that the need for people to understand that is great. Jesus would say, the harvest is there, but the workers are few. And Peter did not have a problem standing up, speaking up, and raising up the expectation and giving people a hope, the hope of Jesus Christ. And when we evangelize, when we go talk to somebody, you say evangelize, what is that? It's simply talking to somebody about Jesus. That's all it is. And when we go, those are the key steps, is that we have to stand up and let them know. We have to speak up and tell them the truth. We have to raise the need in their life. Don't you understand that you need a Savior? And finally, we lift up the name of Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 21, he says, Jesus the Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders. If you look at 22 through 24, it talks about how God delivered him from death. When you look at 32 and 33, it says that God has raised him up and that they were all witnesses, being there exalted at the right hand of God. It's just constantly pushing Jesus to the forefront, pushing Jesus out front. 36, he says, let all the house of Israel know that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus that you crucified. It wasn't an easy conversation. He's saying, you're the one that did this. Just like today when we sit in our pews, we have to realize that Jesus died on our behalf, for us, in our place, because of us. And it's an amazing love that drove him there. And then verse 38 says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Basically saying, you will become part of his church. Man, that's a sermon in itself right there, just what he said. Hey, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to speak up, I'm going to raise up the need that they have, and I'm going to lift up Jesus. So what does that mean for us today? First, you have to make the decision that you're going to stand up. Then when something needs to be said, that you will be that person. That you won't sit on the sideline, that when challenges to the Word are brought, when challenges to Jesus are brought, that you say, no, I do not believe that. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and that the Bible is His Word to us, and that it bears absolute truth. You need to stand up. We need to speak up, that it's something that we do in our life, that we talk about the truth that is the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the testimony that He has given us. It all started because they noticed something different in somebody. Your first witnessing tool is to let people see who you were. The people who knew you in high school and college, they probably know that very well. Stephen, I have to apologize to you. We prayed Wednesday night that we wouldn't have to repent of any sins that you did while you were on vacation, and that you wouldn't make a fool of our church. But here's what I want you to do, what I want you to know about Stephen Kinney. I'm not worried about where Stephen Kinney goes, because he loves Jesus. And he's not ashamed to stand up. He's not ashamed to speak up. We all know that. But I'm telling you this, he'll raise the need of Jesus in your life. And he gives Jesus the glory because he's a changed life. You see, your first witnessing tool is you walking. It's that dead man that was left behind and that new man that's walking right there. It's you being able to say, you remember who I was? Yeah, I remember that guy too. I don't like that person. Let me tell you why that changed. Let me tell you who I am now and why. That's our first witnessing tool. You say, well, I don't have that miraculous testimony of walking out of things. You know what? All those people would say, I'm so glad you didn't have to walk through what I went through to find Jesus. I have never met someone who was saved and had to walk out of addiction, had to walk out of a lifestyle that was just destroying their body and their heart, say, man, I really wish everybody had to walk through that. I've always heard them say, I just wish it didn't take me so long, and that somebody, listen to this, that somebody would have told me the truth sooner. I just wanted to finish by saying there's a lot of people that criticize us going and telling people about Jesus. And maybe you'll find some of these things that you've said, or maybe that you think, or maybe people have posed to you and you didn't understand. Most of the time I hear people, whenever I say, hey, we need to talk about Jesus, they're like, well, I share Jesus all the time. I just don't have to talk about him. I let my actions speak, and they're going to come talk to me about what's going on. Well, here's what I want you to know. Jesus spoke about himself. Paul preached sermons. Peter talked about Jesus. James talked about Jesus. Philip went up to a chariot, talked about Jesus. John talked about Jesus. And they all used words to tell about Jesus. I'm pretty sure if those people in the Bible had to use actual words, syllables put together that have meaning, we must use words. Because I can tell you this, I am not as eloquent as John and Philip and Paul and Peter. And I'm definitely not able to speak on the things of God like God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we want to say we don't have to use words and we're just going to be an example witness, we are failing at what Jesus told us to do. We have to use words. The second thing is, evangelism isn't for everyone. Yes, it is. Let's just get past it. Let's stop talking about, well, there's some people that have the spiritual gift of evangelism. And they're the ones that's supposed to go and tell people about Jesus. And we have pastors, and we have people like the Grahams, and we have all these people like Greg Laurie, who, man, they got the spotlight. God's definitely using them. You know what? Greg Laurie doesn't mean anything to your coworker that doesn't listen to Air One Radio. Because the only place that you know Greg Laurie from is Air One Radio, which is alternative Christian radio. And because he does a harvest crusade. But unless somebody goes to them and says, hey, I want you to come with me to this crusade, they're not even going to know about him. Evangelism is for everyone. You and I are called to be equally faithful to the task of evangelism, even if we are not equally effective. We are equally responsible. Everyone in this room has the equal share in sharing the gospel with somebody. That Jesus came to save a wretch like us. We are called to that. Something I hear from church people all the time. The past 4 years traveling the state, this was crazy how much I heard this. We need more training. We need more training. Now, don't get me wrong. There is great tools to help share the gospel. There's nothing wrong with learning how to use an EvangiCube to witness to somebody, or learning how to use the Romans Road, or use the canyon with the cross thing. Everybody knows all these different things. There's nothing wrong with that because it gives a good picture. And there's ways. And you should know how to effectively share Christ with a child. You should effectively know how to share Christ effectively with an adult. You should know how to share Christ effectively with the people you're around the most. If you're in a building with people who are mostly atheistic, you need to be figuring out what is the best way to share Christ with an atheist. That's our task. That's what we're supposed to do. But they always say, I need more training. The problem is the gospel wasn't something to be trained on before we went and shared. It was something that when we see people's lives radically transform, they just went and shared because of what had just happened. There's no training. It's not like KFC. There's not a special blend of 11 spices that you got to put together and get right and perfect the dish before you go out. It is about just talking about Jesus. Wherever you go, whenever you can. In this generation, I hear this a lot. People do not believe in absolute truth. Stop it. Yes, they do. Tell them to throw a ball up in the air. Which way is it going to go whenever they stop? The force from their throw stops. What's coming down? Will it always? Yes, they believe in an absolute truth. Sit down on that pew. Is it going to hold you? Hopefully. That's what I usually think. Could be pretty embarrassing. But we believe in absolute truth. We just like the ones that are convenient for us. We like it that gravity holds us to the ground. We don't like it when we have to say that someone died in our place for the wrongs that we've done. Absolute truth is not the issue. It's the absolute non-existence of the church telling people about Jesus. Fifth, evangelism doesn't work is what people say. Evangelism doesn't work. Here's my response to that. You're here. Everybody in this room had someone tell them about Jesus Christ. And you may be sitting in this room and you say, no, nobody's told me about Jesus Christ. I just got drugged here. As one of my friends likes to say, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church every Sunday. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus Christ loves you whether you were drugged here or you came on your own accord. Whether you're broken and looking for an answer or whether you think you got it all together, the truth is that one day you're going to meet the Creator of heaven and earth. When you close your eyes for the last time here on earth, your eyes are going to open before the judgment seat of God. And when your eyes open and you're standing before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, your knees are going to buckle and you're going to hit the ground. Because the power of an almighty God being in your presence, or actually when you're in His presence, no one can withstand. And He's going to say, hey, why should I let you into my heaven? Why should I? Let you who did this, this, and this, and this. And you know what? What's amazing is the Bible tells us that Jesus, that while we were yet sinners, died for us. That's how God demonstrated his love for us. That he took his perfect son who never broke a law, never went against God. And he said, I will take their place so they can stand before you and be declared righteous. Not because of their own righteousness, but because of mine. And being declared righteous is just basically that you have no guilt before God. Jesus had no guilt before God, but he died in your place. And this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, here's what you need to know, that the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, we read it in our text, shall be saved. And this morning, whether you want to be here or not, God put you here to hear this message. That while you are still denying him, that Christ, before you were even a thought in your parents' head, died for you. And that he offers you life freely. And a relationship with God Almighty. And on that day when you stand in judgment, Christian, you're going to stand in judgment. We're all going to stand before the throne. The great thing is that those who know Jesus, it says in Jude, we just studied it on Wednesday night, that at the end, on the day of judgment, that Jesus will be able to make you stand. Because your knees are going to buckle. But if you have Jesus in your life and he's declared you righteous with his blood, that he will hold you up before the Father. And the Lord's going to say, come on into my heaven. If that's you this morning, I want you to know that that invitation is always open at this church. Whether you come on a Sunday morning, a Monday morning, a Wednesday night, that invitation is always open. You can call me, you can Facebook message me. I don't care how you get a hold of me. I hope there's people in this room. In fact, if you are willing to answer a question about Jesus Christ as somebody who's lost, would you raise your hand right now? Raise your hand if you're willing to say, I will talk to somebody about Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, look around. Look around. Don't put your hand down. Look around. You have to know one of these people. Two things I want to tell you. You put your hands down. First, you need to ask them, why haven't you told me before? Hit them hard. But then say, please tell me. Please tell me. But evangelism does work because each one of us knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you've declared him, somebody told you that. Somebody told you the truth. Somebody stood up, they spoke up, they raised up the question, they lifted up Jesus, and you had the opportunity to say, I need him. This morning, church, who are we going to be? This church will be a house of prayer. And second, it will be a people, it'll be a group who shares Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week.